Every family has its rules, don't they? Every family in here has rules. My family, when I was growing up, had rules designed for fairness and for fun. For example, in my family, the youngest child was the one who always got to put the baby Jesus in the creche, in the nativity scene on Christmas morning before we saw our presents. Never mind that I was never the youngest child. But before that happened, the whole family had to sit down around the dining room table for the Christmas morning liturgy, lighting all of the candles on the Advent wreath, in the dining room, as I said, with the double doors closed, before anybody could enter the living room where the youngest child put the baby Jesus in the creche, before we saw our presents. But the other rule we had for Christmas, before even that, was that not one child was allowed to come out of their bedroom on Christmas morning until the sun had come over the horizon and the light was dawning. And we never even, not one of us, considered breaking that rule because the consequences that were possible were just too horrible to consider. If you are wondering right now about your family rules, I find that Christmas is a good time to think about. And when I do premarital counseling with folks, I'll often ask them about their Christmas rituals because it has rarely occurred to a couple in the bloom of love that one family might have one set of rituals and the other have another set of rituals. For example, this question always gets a discussion going. When did your family open their Christmas presents? This is a great jumping off point for the discussion of how do you deal with conflict with your partner. Our family rules and rituals shape us in myriad ways, and whether we liked our rules or despised them, they influence how we function for our whole lifetime. And the church family is much the same. We are not kin here because of our blood ties, but because we are one family in Christ. Our faith, our practices, our baptism, our time gathered around the altar join us in family. The generations here, from the very youngest to the oldest, join us in generations of family. And we have our rules and rituals, from our common worship life, the way that we do things, to our church seasons, which come as regular and as expected as they can be. Here we are woven together in the church in a family that crosses chronology and crosses geography. If you've done any genealogy work, then you're familiar with the intricacies of the family tree. The church family is perched on branches of its own family tree that have been shaped by God's grace and shaped by the stories of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, a family that depends upon the rules of mercy, follows the promise of forgiveness, and listens for the Holy Spirit. We are members of a family that value the Beatitudes, or as was translated for our children this morning, the beautiful attitudes. The attitudes as God's rule of life, God's dream of creation. Our values and priorities are God's values and priorities. And when we stumble and fall, as family members always do, then we are called, sometimes we are challenged by Jesus in this calling, but we are always invited to hold on to one another in love and understanding. as we are all imperfect creatures. And even when this is a challenge, even when we find ourselves living in different parts of the Beatitude speech given by Jesus, some of it is really hard. Even on the days when we can't do that, we have a model in Jesus who met people right where they were and loved them in their stumbling. And on the days when we can't do that, we can ask Jesus to help us do it anyway. Our family reaches further back than human memory can extend. And we have in our very being a future that stretches farther than even time can extend. God's time rules in our family. And on All Saints' Day, time moves in and out of chronology until the people who were and the people who are and the people yet to be are fuzzy in definition and in boundaries. In God's time, we are all God's beloved children, sometimes loving, sometimes quarrelsome, sometimes brave beyond imagination, and sometimes we are terrified. In Christ, God is with us in all of those times, deeply caring for us and walking with us every step of the way. About a week ago, I heard a phrase that I really loved, and this phrase came from somebody I had never heard of until last week. She was peacemaker, peace studier, Elise Boulding. Elise was a Norwegian-born Quaker who was a pioneer in peace studies, and she died about 3 years ago. Elise talked about something called the 200-year present. She said that we all live in a 200-year present. To figure out what that is, in your imagination, in your memory, go back to the very youngest age that you can remember, when you were really young. Go back to that place. And then think about, and this maybe is just from a picture that you have, but think about at that young age, who was the very oldest person who held you? And once you've got that settled in your mind, go back and calculate the birth date of that very oldest person. And then start thinking about the very youngest person in your extended family. Perhaps it's your child, a grandchild, a nephew, a niece. Go to that very youngest person in your extended family and imagine for them a long and healthy life. What decade do you think they might reach? 80? 90? 100? And Elise Boulding would say to us, you were held and touched, and you will touch the lives of people that cover a 200-year present. Right now, this is your present. And in this present, we are forever connected to all those who have died, all those who we love so much but see no longer. They are woven into our hearts and into our minds, and I believe even into our bones and sinews as part of us. The memory of them will bless us from a time and space that God has transfigured into their dwelling place, a place where we will all gather in God's time, and from where we can then bless those yet to come. This is our family. This is God's family. We find comfort in this family. We can cry in this family and be safe in our tears. We can laugh and share the joy in our family. We welcome the newest among us even as we bid farewell to the oldest. And as friends come and go, as our own children grow up and move to start their own families, we are all one in God's love. This family that can never be separated from God through the nearness of Christ among us. So, no matter where you started, no matter where you came from, no matter where you are now, in God's family, you are home.